And as we go, hallelujah, hear these instructions as you leave for your different churches, ministries, states, and even nations. Hear this vital instruction that Jesus is calling you onto. In Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, there are two accounts of how Jesus called the 12, and then in Luke 10, he calls another 70. Matthew's Gospel 10 and Luke's Gospel 9. And sometimes we stay with the go and preach, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers. And that looks like where many people have stopped. But he proceeds further to what I will refer to as a post-resurrection responsibility. As he sends them out, he gives them certain instructions, which I consider to be the staying power in the ministry of Jesus Christ. The staying power. In Luke's Gospel chapter 9, he spells this out well. In other words, in the call of God, or let's say in the ministry of Jesus, will remain a consistent call by God for each and every one of us. You know, we read the same thing he does in Mark 16:15. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. He says they will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Verse 20 says, and they went forth everywhere, preaching the word, and the Lord walking with and confirming it with signs following. But notice what he says in Matthew 28. Something is said there that shouldn't be lost. He says, he came unto them, spake, and saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation, or teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now look at 20. Teaching them to observe what things soever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. So, before I go further, that instruction in Matthew's Gospel 28 and Mark 16 is in the present tense continuous. You don't say, I have gone. A believer, a minister, a Christian must always find himself or herself going. Going will mean I'm always intending to reach the unsaved. I'm always planning to, walking towards, having those who have never heard the gospel to hear it. It becomes consistent and it becomes regular for me. However, Jesus places certain instructions to those that he sends. Certain vital instructions. In case you read Matthew 10, let's see something he equally commanded. Matthew's Gospel 10. This will never be given to you in a Bible school. Not in a school of ministry. Not even at believers' convention. It will be your personal dedication to what he has called you to do. I found out that as important as consecration is, you don't share it. There's nothing like me and my friends. Now you can start out that way, but you have to individualize it. Me and my wife. Me and my bosom partner. No. It's something you have to individualize. It has to be something you do personally. You know, that's why no matter what happens to your friends and associates, if they fall apart, fall aside, do other things, that should not affect you if you have a personal consecration to what you ought to be doing. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So in Matthew's Gospel chapter 10, look at the corresponding instruction. Matthew's Gospel chapter 10. He says to them, of course, you read, it talks about persecution, it talks about a couple of other things. Then he says to them in verse 35, I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's fault shall be the day of his own household. This is talking about persecution. It doesn't say she go and fight people. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. In this he talks about you and I putting priorities to what we do. Don't carry out the work of the ministry because it is convenient for now. It must be something you do as a priority over your comfort and whatever you do. Now, it's not saying you don't have father or mother or have wife. No. That would be an extreme. He has never said, don't marry or don't have kids because you want to serve me. He never said that. He only said, you must prefer. That's the word hate. The word hate doesn't mean dislike. It means to put priority of one over the other. This is a very strong call. It's strange, really, because he's saying to you, put me first. Put the kingdom first. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom. Put on zetio. Seek ye first. Put on him on zetio. You put this first above all things. In other words, you build your plans and your pursuits around the kingdom of God. And so we have that responsibility not to allow relationships, pursuits, which are godly. Marital relationships are godly. Career pursuits are godly. There's nothing wrong in there. They are not ungodly. You know, but where it becomes ungodly is where you fail to define priority such that there is no conflict of interest. If I have to do something that is either too godly for my career, for myself, for my family, and there comes a call to do something for the kingdom of God, I must put priority where it ought to be at that moment. And so that's what he calls us towards at this time. And then Paul, in writing as well, reminds us of certain things. I'm saying this directly to you. He says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18, prophecies have gone before on you. Now, it's not sufficient to write them down. It's time to wage a warfare with them. It's time to ensure that you stick with them. You hold fast to them. It's time to ensure that you walk with it consciously. It's time to ensure that. He reminds Timothy, as though, you know, when you write things three times, pay attention. In the same letter, chapter 4, verse 14, he says, neglect not the gift that is in you. Then he mentions again, by prophecy. Don't neglect it. That's not the prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. No, that is a prophecy about you and what God wants you to do concerning the ministry of Jesus in the earth today. As though Timothy might forget, 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift of God, which was given thee by the putting on of my hands. At times you just have to remember. Remember hands were laid on you. Remember words were spoken to you. You must remember those things consciously. Many times choose to say them again to yourself. Words said to you, you know, not every prophecy given to you were nice sessions. Some called for consecration, some caution, some have to do with you being careful, others have to do with you being much more diligent, you know, sometimes others corrected you. He said, each and every one, you must wage a good warfare with them. When you write prophecies down, do you read them again? Do you meditate upon them? There was a time, this was last year or so, I actually asked some of our leaders to get a hold of many prophecies and then send it around. Because people oftentimes forget. They think it's at the spur of the moment. Hallelujah! Yeah! Oh! And then the very next week, they are not reading it again. They're not thinking about it again. And you know, we're in such serious times. You know? Where, you know, back then, I used to say this, not too old, but then back then, to watch a movie, you have to join, video club. And you go to video club, you go and borrow a videotape. Look at the process it will take for you to watch. Sometimes you will have changed your mind when there's traffic. You get it? And, you know, in fact, for my own family, we didn't get a video player. What's video player? Video player, where you play, you put in a videotape. So you had a neighbor that used to have one. We'll go there. That's where I watch all the Dramendra, Soleil, Burning Train. You know, you had to go to the other house. My mom must not know that you were there. If she knows that you will see God life. So it took a while. And getting born again too, you know, it took a lot of effort to even watch television. And when you had to watch, TV will open by 4. You first see red, green, yellow. They say, down, 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 doo. Then you're happy. Arise, oh God. Then Sesame Street. Then you keep watching. By 11:59, you hear it again. In fact, sometimes you hear, sorry, power. Gang, 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 gang. So just 6 hours. But now, things have changed. No matter the kind of phone you use, you have an unrestricted supply of entertainment. Unrestricted. It's like eternity. It just comes on your phone. Bam, bam, bam. You know, you're talking about evil communication corrupt good manners. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise. Comparing the fool's praise together. You have to go to people's house to walk with the wise. They have to come to your house. Now, just open a Facebook account and be sending requests. In a few weeks, 5,000 friends that you have never seen. And then they start to influence your thoughts without having to see you. They start to write things that you start thinking about. Then you also are under an impression that you have to express yourself. In fact, somebody said that they discovered, this is psychological, now I'm not verified it, but it looks legitimate, that there's something that is within generation. They call this one particular hormone. They said it's for acceptance. There's just a craving for acceptance. You know, let me say something, everybody will like it. You know, and so there's a lot of pressure. Information, entertainment, your phones are buzzing, bam, bam, bam. You have devices all over. There's DSTV 24 hours. There's GoTV. There's Star Times. Every kind of TV. There's even TV that people have created on their own. And you're watching all. And your time is being limited. There's Twitter. There's Facebook. Always on. Let me check it briefly. Before you know it, 4 hours has gone. It's choking you. Choking you. Some of us cannot pray without putting off our phones. Your phone is on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sorry, I'm praying. You're typing. Studying the word. How can you study the word? Habitat. I don't know how you can work. How are you doing it? And you are chatting with someone, studying, man, I'm having a great time here. You have lost concentration. So, I really don't envy this generation of people. Because, you know, to guard your heart with all diligence now, you have to double up your guarding. Because, everything is just around you, to your face. But then, the word of God has not changed. God's word will not change because of you. You will have to change by the word. And so, getting back to what I was saying, you therefore need to have a consistent yielding to God's instructions in His call upon your life. As we close this convention, I will leave you with something that the Lord asked to tell you in this convention. In Luke's Gospel 9, just the same as Matthew 10, but rendered differently. Luke's Gospel 9. Hallelujah. Verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whither thou goest. Then he said to the man, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. The first thing he talks about there is comfort. Comfort. Then secondly, he said unto another, Follow me. And he said, Lord, I'll do it. I'm ready. But, delay. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. That looks so legitimate that you wonder, yeah, I understand. And he responds and says, Let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Go and preach. Jesus has never asked anyone to follow him that the person is not to follow him to preach. Follow me means go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Follow, I will follow Jesus. Every day of my life I will follow him. And I want to be like Jesus in my life. Hallelujah. But then, this evening we are going for evangelism. I don't have time. So where are you following Jesus to? To the stadium? If you read the four gospels, Matthew has 28 chapters. 26 of those chapters are about the ministry of Jesus. Mark has 16. The entire 16 chapters are about the ministry of Jesus. Luke has 24. 22 of the chapters are about the ministry of Jesus. John has 21. The entire 21, just like Mark, are about the ministry of Jesus. So if you want to follow Jesus, without the ministry of Jesus, you're only fooling yourself. Following Jesus means to preach the gospel. Following Jesus means to pray, to serve. That is how to follow Jesus. There's no other account of Jesus you have, but the ministry of Jesus. So if he says, follow me, is a consistent, continual call upon your life. Follow me. I know you're married. I know you have children. I know you're a businessman. I know you're a career person. I know you're young. I know you're old. I know you're in America. I know you're in Africa. Follow me. I know you're an undergraduate. Follow me. I know you're in a secondary school. Follow me. I know you just graduated from university. Follow me. I know you're studying for your PhD. Follow me. Put me first. He's not asking you to abandon parents or abandon where to stay. No. But when there's a need to preach the gospel, you put it above comfort, even above pain. Just go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. I begin to close here. So the core of what I wanted to share is in verse 61. Another also said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first. Look at that statement. Let me first. Someone say first. That's the issue. Let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home. I checked the TLB version. Now, I often don't use other translations, but this got my attention because it's very close to the Greek rendering. He says, Yes, Lord, I will come, but first let me ask permission of those at home. Let me ask permission of those at home. Verse 62 of the Living Bible is my instruction for us this morning. Verse 62 of the Living Bible, King James says, No man, having put his hands to the plow, and looks back his feet for the kingdom of God. This is not about salvation. This is about preaching the gospel. TLB version says, Anyone who lets himself to be distracted. For the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom
of God. Anyone who lets himself or herself to be distracted. I pray that you will spot every distraction. In the name of Jesus. The word feet doesn't mean you are not born again. It's used for some that has been tested. Works that are tested. In Luke 14:35, Hebrews 6 and 7. It's used for what is tested as works. It's not salvation. Watch the distractions from yourself. Relationships. Career. Pleasure. And even ministry. You know, I was saying this to Pastor Tokumbo the other day. We had this conversation. We reviewed the past a lot because I've known him for a few years. And then we were grateful of some relationships that are no longer in our lives. They would have been distractions. Because you will want to consider this friend of yours, even though God wants you to obey him. Sometimes wrong marriages, wrong partnerships, wrong ministry associations. He says, he who allows himself to be distracted. Allows himself to be distracted. Is not fit for this service. Brothers and sisters, don't be distracted. Even by legitimate and good things which are not evil, don't be distracted. As you go back to your nation, your states, your towns, your churches, your campuses, keep your eyes on the ball. The ball is the master. Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on the ball. Don't be distracted. Avoid it. Avoid distractions. Jesus says, if you yield to distraction, then you deem yourself unqualified to serve me as you should. As we end this convention, to continue again in 2020, I counsel you, avoid distractions. Avoid it. Be focused. Be focused. Be focused. Keep your eyes on the ball. Listen to God's Spirit. Follow God's leading. Follow His purpose and plan. Watch the programs you want to organize. Don't do programs because people are doing it. You want to prove that you can also do it. No. No. You're doing what you're doing. You're raising men for Jesus. Teaching them the word of God. Full of the Spirit of God. To serve and love the Lord. Be focused. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray that you are not distracted. I pray from wherever you came to this convention that your focus will not change. I pray for whatever town, nation, country, church, ministry that you came from to be here, that the resources, blessings of this convention will not waste away over your life. That you will be focused. That your eyes will be single. No man will distract you. No woman will distract you. No choice of yours will distract you. No decision of yours will distract you. In the name of Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost one more time. If you can give us the song, simply and clearly.